Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And I don't know if y'all noticed, but look who's back. Our very own Landon Harris Williams. He is back. And we are going to jump in. We're going to figure out what he's been up to. But let me do a quick rundown of what we're doing today. So we've got some really interesting topics this week. Brandon, you came back on a good, This is going to be good. So our topics today are asking out, but you can't pay. And then we're going to move into BlurredCon, the whole thing that happened with them. Then we're going to move into Lil Nas X, his Industry Baby music video, and I guess some of the other music news there as well. And then we're going to move into removing an ex's photos from social media. So I'll break down exactly what all that stuff means. But first, let's get into who these hosts are. I mean, y'all know, but maybe we might have to do a reintroduction for Brandon. Yeah. We haven't seen you in a while. So what's going on, Brandon?
What is going on with me? I've been like moving and I started a new job. The new job is certainly a transition. I'm in a management position of sorts, a lack of like structure and order and
okay. So, you know, you just need to Olivia Pope it, you know.
I don't like her, but
I was thinking that.
I forgot you're not an Olivia Pope fan.
Forget her. But no, I think it'll get better because the job itself is not difficult. It's like, I'm not like at the top. So I'm like, am I going to be the person who needs to like implement this order and structure? Because that's a little confusing. But, you know, while out of y'all to get y'all together, I can do that. I just don't but that's been that. The shame with moving and everything else. And so, yeah, it's been busy. It's been hectic. I've been working on Sundays. That's why I've not been here. So, yes.
Okay, good. So, you know the drill. Like, what are you drinking today? You got anything in your cup?
Oh, I need this. I have like wine, praise God. Some kind of red, I don't know. I got this for my birthday, but I just have now had the chance to drink it.
Stuff,
so praise God.
Sounds good. All right, Marcus, why don't you give us a quick update? Let us know what you've been up to and what you're drinking.
So I haven't been up to too much. Actually that's a lie. I've been out and about in the streets. I went to New Orleans last weekend. This weekend I'm down at my best friend's house. So I'm just trying to get this last bit of summer before school starts back. You know, just live life, all those things. And as far as drinking, my best friend and I, we made some daiquiris. So this is a little bit of the leftover liquor and mix that's going to be joining me today.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good. Mama Shay's asked me, is it a yellow/beige day for the crew? I mean, I guess so. We got kind of a nice little color. I feel like we're a Gap ad or something. You know, with like the very...
I have on gray. The lighting almost kind of makes it look a little bit like...
It looks almost in the same family. You know, it's a neutral, so yeah, it works.
I was going to say, if it was beige, I was going to say my pants are beige, so it still works. It fits.
There you go. Khalid says, congrats on the new job, Brandon. And Focus said, y'all got a new host and ain't told nobody nothing.
I'm weak.
Now, you know who Brandon is. We know he's kidding. But for me, I guess I had a tennis tournament last week. That's why we didn't have a show last time. And we did okay. I get really competitive, but I kind of have to balance that out with the social aspect of it. So I can't really get into my competitive crazy mode like I normally would have. thanks much in part to my partner, Will. He kind of keeps me level. Otherwise, I'm just like, you know, F these people. I love you. Don't say that. But I'm just being like, when we're on the court,
yeah,
I'm not trying to talk with y'all. And I think that was one of those. It was one of those things. And he likes to talk with the people that we're playing against between matches and stuff. So I kind of had to be a little bit nicer. but you know, outside of the game, I'm like, you know, I want to meet everybody. I want to talk to everybody. So I was having a good, you know, we were going out. We had a couple of different social events as well. So it was fun. And today I am drinking a Malbec. Yes. You know, I have not had a red wine in a long time, only because, you know, usually I use red wine for like dinner and stuff, and I haven't really been going out to dinners. So, yeah. Mama Shay is asking, did I see growth from my last competition? I absolutely did. I absolutely did. And I kind of felt like a little bit of a rock star on the court because, you know, I got some nice hits in. So yeah, I'm seeing some improvement. But let's move into these topics. I know y'all want to talk about some of these things. So let's start with a tweet that got... It kind of kickstarted our week into the mess. So we're going to talk about like asking somebody out, but not being able to necessarily pay for the entire date. Mm-hmm. So a tweet by @KirkWrites79 writes basically staging a text message back and forth. He says, "You want to go out?" The other person says, "Sure." And then he says, "I'm going to be upfront. My money's tight right now, so we got to split the bill." And then the other person says, "Let's just wait for me to ask you out, and I'll cover the whole thing." And he said, "That was an actual text exchange. Maybe I'm wrong or old-fashioned, but if you can't afford to date, don't." So curious what you guys' thoughts on that were. Let's start... I don't know. Like, I feel like you both have cases on you. I don't know who to start with. why don't we start with Brandon? You haven't been here for a while, so why don't you start us off?
Lord have mercy. okay, just clear really quickly. He was the person who was asked on the date in the text exchange, not the person who asked. But I understand the frustration. I don't know if I would have been maybe as irritated. I think there's something to be said, I think, for being like open and say, "I don't have it all right now." But it's also kind of like, but you're the one who suggested we go somewhere. So why not just wait? I think it's what you're saying. Essentially, just wait until you have the money, which I can understand because you asked. I'm of the mindset of, I think the person who asks to go on the date should pay. But I'll always like be prepared to pay for myself just in case. And there's nothing wrong with going Dutch. And I think of making it clear. Because even if the guy would have been like, "Hey, we'll just go Dutch," versus saying, "I don't have it." And I was kind of like, "You make an irresponsible decision. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just wait."
That.
Right. So, Marcus, maybe you can jump in on this. But how were you feeling? Do you feel similar to Brandon?
Yes, maybe even a bit stronger, because I don't understand like why you would even put that energy out into the atmosphere if you can't pay for it. Like, I was, "Oh, we should go out, but you should pay." What? Absolutely not. And like part of that may also be just sort of like my sort of energy, because if I'm asking you out, like I have the intention of paying, and if I don't have the money, I'm not going to ask. Like that's just how I move. So it just really seems silly to me that this person said, "Oh, we can go out, but you got to pay." It's like, no, that's not how this works. That's not how it works.
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel like, I guess, you know, and I thought maybe we would have some kind of a difference of opinion as far as this is concerned, because I feel like we kind of feel the same way. I am just of the mindset, like, you don't ask somebody out and then say, "Oh, I need you, and we're going to have to split it. You're going to have to pay." Like, I feel like that's kind of a risk that you assume when you go out on a date. And if you can't afford to take somebody out, if you can't take somebody out somewhere cheaper, I mean, I feel like that's an option. And if cheap to you, and if you know all you can afford is, you know, going to McDonald's or something, then either don't or make it cute and do like a McDonald's at the park or something, like buy McDonald's and bring it to the picnic. You know, picnic something.
Listen, you can bring me that new chicken sandwich. I would be happy.
But would you be happy for a first date?
And like sitting in the McDonald's? Absolutely not. But if what Jerry said, like if you like, we went to the park, it's like, you know, like candlelit dinner with some McNuggets, y'all would smash the McNuggets. But you're not going to have me sitting up at McDonald's in all my fineries. You can talk about this as a date. Absolutely not.
Right. Mama Shay's asking, would it be different if the guy said, I'd like to go out but prefer Dutch? I don't think so. I mean, I feel like that's basically what was kind of said in this exchange. I mean, go ahead, Marcus. Somebody jump in.
You can go ahead, Brandon.
I was like, I think saying Dutch is different because the expectation is like, we'll pay versus saying, I don't have it to pay for you. So it like implies priorities or like level of like what you should or should not be doing, responsibility maybe. It's like, okay, I don't have the money, but I still want to go on a date versus we should just pay for each other. Because it's like, I think you assume different things based on what is, you know what I'm saying? How you convey that.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if you put it up front, they're like, hey, we should go Dutch. In my mind, that's going to be like, okay, this person is really just kind of trying to feel it out, you know, see where we stand, what have you. Okay, I can respect that. You're like, yeah, I want to take you out, but I ain't got it.
But you don't.
pretty much.
Like, you
are... It reads the same to me. Like, if you say, you know, oh, we just, you know, or I'd like to take you out on a date, but we'd have to pay Dutch. Or like, I don't know how you would frame that for me to be like, oh, okay. Like, I just feel like...
So at what point?
Because that's just how I am. If I am going to take you out of your couch, take you out of your comfort zone and put you in a restaurant, then I understand that there's a risk that I would be the one that's going to pay for the whole thing. And I would be okay paying for the whole thing. And then I think for me, I would kind of like that in return. Now, if the date turns out to be, you know, something so I'm saying like as the person asked out on a date, if it turned out to be something that I was really not feeling you like that, I would offer to then, you know, pay my part. I mean, that's just how I am. Like, if you could, but I don't know. It's a little bit, because I, you know, I've been taken out on dates and, you know, all of a sudden when the check comes and then he's like sliding it over to you, I'm like, okay, well, you asked me out. So
now that's messed up.
Like, so what if when the check comes, they're like, okay, it's going to be separate. Is that different for you at that time? Or is it kind of like you need to know before? Or they just should be paying in general for the whole thing. If they can.
I think if it's okay, so there's no, I think to answer your question, just on a short end, it should be, yeah, they should be paying for it. If they ask me out. It's a little bit of a turnoff to have a really nice date, and then at the end of it, it's like, okay, well, here's your half of the bill or something like that. Or, you know, he puts his credit card on there and then he slides it to you like, you know, oh, here you go. Because I just, you know, because I've had that happen where I was like, oh, I really like this guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, minus 2 points because you slid the bill over here. And I'm just like, okay, I thought you was the man, but now you're showing me that you're not really, you know, because I would in turn, mm-hmm. pay for the next date, or I would in turn pay for drinks somewhere else. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those, that's just kind of how I think. Yeah. But not everybody is like that, and I get that. It's weird. Like, I feel like if we were on a friendship level, I feel like if you're gonna go Dutch, it's gonna be more of a friendship thing. That's just mm-hmm. how I compute in my head.
Makes sense.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So let me see what some of these people are saying over here. Focus says, wait, what is he saying? What are we talking about? Sorry, I'm eating, so I'm missing some questions. Didn't realize. Okay, so that's something else. Sorry. Connected is continuing something. I don't know where the beginning of this thread is, but he says one pays for coffee / pregame and dessert, and one pays for the meal. There are many variables. And yeah, I mean, I agree. There are many variables, you know, like I said, like, you know, it's just, it really just kind of depends on what's happening and where you guys are. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm paying for, if we meet out at a bar or something and I'm paying for drinks at the bar, then, you know, you can pay for dinner or like a piece of an appetizer, because in my head I'm like, okay, well, I only paid $13 over here, so you only really have to pay, you know, for an appetizer or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you ask me out on a date and you're trying to be like romantic or something, pay for the date. Like take it all the way. Like do 100%.
No half stepping.
Right. Mama Shay says, I also don't let a man I'm not exclusive with pay for me, period. So I do remember conversations with Mama Shay just on a personal level that she likes to go Dutch usually until she's like in an exclusive thing. That way. I mean, I guess that's what makes friendships interesting, but yeah.
pay for all of this and blah blah blah, and you're not gonna do, so I can understand, like, sir, yeah. You anything. Nothing, it's fine.
yeah. I do think, you know, when one person pays for the entire thing, or I don't know, I guess in both cases, it there is a risk of being very transactional. I'm not sure which one it has more of a risk of being transactional. I guess if I'm paying for the whole meal now, then you have to pay for the next one. And then it's like, there's no blending. There's no, like, and I feel like there has to be a blending of the two in order for it to just be not so much about who's paying for who. You know right. what I'm saying? Right. But I think that would come naturally later on in the relationship. I don't know. That's just kind of where I am. Albert Ivory Jr. saying, I think it depends on the relationship. The person that was asked seems to trust and want to spend time with the person. Not in this case. Not in this case. I mean, maybe I'm not completely understanding how that ties into what we tweeted, but I get in some cases, yes. The other person will just accept that and be okay with that. Yeah.
I think so, because I think the tweet ended at Kirk was like, we can just wait till I have it or whatever, you know what I'm saying, or I'll just pay for it, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because that does, because in order for you to say that, like, you kind of have to know this person. Like, you know what, we're just going to put this on hold. Because if this was a first date situation and they say that, they probably be like, you know what, cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to go into our second topic. Before we do, I just want to say, you know, we've got a Patreon. So jump on patreon.com. / Jared D. King, or go to boysandbrunch.com, sign up, $4 a month. You get access to our exclusive after show, Splitting the Bill, access to our exclusive Discord server. It's a fun time and it's worthwhile. So let's jump into BlurredCon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just take those deep sighs now, because man.
Chile,
indeed. So I want to talk about, well, I want to first say that a lot of this information that I'm getting is from, Marcus, I believe you shared this article. This kind of helped sum it all up. This is from della-doll.com.
Yeah. Shout out to sis.
Yeah. So I left the link for the article in the description. I'm basically going to paraphrase everything that had happened. So BlurredCon, so if you don't know the word blurred, it means black nerd. It's a mashup of those two words. BlurredCon is basically like a comic con, like a big convention for people who are in anime, video games, comics, that type of thing. They all come together and kind of celebrate that culture. BlurredCon, you would think, is specifically for black nerds. Well, in the 4 years of its existence, they have this cosplay contest, and in those 4 years, a white person has won the contest twice. One of those years being 2021. So it has been this big thing on social media that a lot of people have been talking about. And after a ton of criticism, the judges of the contest came out and defended their decision, basically saying that there was really no other choice. The costumes that the other black contestants had didn't really measure up, you know, stuff like, you know, am I going to am I going to judge the guy who made a dragon's tail out of a Pringles can? And you guys, you know, y'all with these store-bought clothes. And it was like, it was very shady. It wasn't a professional response. And it was just like, okay, well, why? Like, it wasn't in good taste. At least in my opinion. Let me just say that. So I'm going to show these pics real quick of the winner and then of some of the people who actually took place in the contest. So let me share. I'm just going to share the full screen here. So this is the winner. Apparently, this is from Cardcaptor Sakura. So she has, you know, this nice red dress with the staff and her little wings in the back. Really cute getup. And then we have some of the black cosplayers here.
Oh, look at that.
Right. So, you know, she's got this whole, this kind of like military, but like magical girl kind of outfit. I don't know who this character is, but, and then she's got like these mech arms or something behind it. And I'm describing all of this for our podcast listeners, but, and you know, you kind of have to watch this to kind of get like the full vision, but yeah, this is one. And then we have another one who I think was Ivy from Soul Calibur, if I'm not mistaken.
That looks correct.
Yeah. So like spot on as far as I can tell, like, and I'm a Soul Calibur fanatic and I'm an Ivy fan. So like she would have got it for me personally.
Actually, that may be Voldo, but I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe Voldo. But yeah, it's the same series.
Yeah.
And they've got like that armor, that one big pauldron on the side, and like the what do you call that? Bustier or whatever that is, mm-hmm. in the middle. So yeah, very cool, very sexy. And then we've got, you know, this last guy. I don't know who this character is, but it almost looks like Marcus. Why is that? Because I don't know who this is, or were you?
No, I'm shocked because I didn't see this one.
Okay, yeah, this is another one. Do you know who this is?
No.
Okay, I don't know. It's almost like who's the guy in Star Wars with the that's the bounty hunter?
I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of that.
Well, he looks kind of like him. So basically, those are the other options that they had. A few of the other options that they had. There were plenty of other options, but yeah. So they chose a white woman over that. Multiple options. I mean, you had solid options here. It wasn't as bad as the judges were saying. But then the winner eventually apologized and returned the prizes, saying she realized that it was improper to enter a contest to showcase Black cosplayers. The founder still stated that BlurredCon is for everyone. And I believe one of the quotes was, you know, anyone can be a blurred. Which,
interesting.
I mean, by definition, you know,
I wish I wore my words mean things shirt.
By definition, like, that's actually not true, but you know, okay. So I just want to jump to your guys' interactions. Focus is telling me that that who I meant was Boba Fett. He's saying that's not Boba Fett. And yes, I realize that's not Boba Fett, but it's kind of got like a similar aesthetic. So I want to jump in and ask you guys, what you guys are thinking. Let's jump into Brandon first. Again, we'll get to Marcus because I know he has a special lens from the nerd community. So let's jump to Brandon first.
Lord have mercy.
Take your time.
I think that it is annoying that they seemingly created something specifically for a marginalized community within nerd and comic fandom and everything else, and then you still allow people from the larger subset to still enter and then also win. I absolutely get being inclusive for all or feeling like being excluded, so you want everybody else to feel welcome. That's all good and fine, but I was reading the article. Another part that really stood out for me is it's like the person who wins though this contest, they go somewhere else and now they're representing BlurredCon. And it's like, but why would you have a white person win to go represent something that should be for Black people? Because I get being inclusive and that works, but we're literally called BlurredCon and Blurred is Black Nerd. So why would you not want to stay? I don't. It's just, it's weird. I know you guys would be more focused on this, but I just think in general, I think that happens a lot with Black or marginalized communities trying to be more inclusive of everyone else when feeling like stuff that is primarily white focused is not. But then it's like, if we're making opportunities supposed to be for us, but we still allow others to win, then what is really for us? If you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Marcus, why don't you jump in on this and let us know your thoughts?
So here's the thing. Like, I've been to BlurCon. I was at BlurCon every year but this one, because it happened last weekend and that was the weekend. We opted to go to New Orleans instead. And at this point I am glad that we did. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned when it first started, this isn't the first time that this has happened. This isn't the first time that they've had this, you know, this random white person winning this competition that's supposed to be for Black people. And what I'm starting to see as more and more people double down and try to say, well, this is supposed to be inclusive. How are we any better than the people who exclude us if we don't be inclusive? It's showing me that y'all just threw a name on this convention. Mm-hmm. It's showing me that you just gave a name because you thought it was hot and trendy and hip to the streets. And you didn't really care about what this name actually meant. Because that whole anybody can be a blur thing is bullshit. I'm just gonna say it's bullshit. Because no, everybody cannot be a blur. Because no, not everybody is Black. Everybody wanna be Black until it's time to be Black. And ain't nobody got time for that. Like, so this whole controversy really honestly has really kind of turned my stomach with the convention. Cause it's like, y'all, you don't really understand what this was supposed to be, what this was supposed to do for people. You know, speaking as somebody who's been a huge nerd, geek, whatever you want to do it, their whole life, and trying to find a space where you can be that freely. And y'all have basically taken that and been like, you know what? Nope, we're going to change it. Like, no, that's bullshit, bro. That's bullshit. And fuck you for that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I'm going to bring in Khalid. He's joining us. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. It's good to have you back. So what are your thoughts on this okay. topic here?
Like, I was listening to all this while I was getting ready. I didn't know you guys were going to be on today, but, you know, I subscribe and I get the notification. When I saw it, I was like, ooh, okay. I'll watch it while I'm getting ready because I'm actually going on a date later on. But So BlurredCon, I never heard of it before. The title seems very interesting. I get what the whole thing is. Here's the issue. So are they going to now make a rule? Because this is where it can be as far as, like, you know, discrimination and segregation and maybe some might say borderline racist, to say that, oh, only can it only be that those that identify or those that are African-American, that they are the only ones that can attend the festival or that they are the only ones that can compete in the costume contest. That's where it gets a little like, it can be controversial and that could end up being a problem. Also, in regards of the costume competition, so then are they going to say that only Black people can, you know, there's like only African-Americans, only if you identify as Black, that you can only be the ones to then compete in the competition. But then if somebody that isn't and is basically stepping up the game and has an amazing costume, are they going to be judged not on what they came with, but just on the color of their skin? So, you know, you can't say that you don't want racism. You're against discrimination, but yeah, at the same time, you are going to do that in your festival. I think that's why they decided to just have it open for everybody and anybody to compete, to not kind of hold themselves legally liable, and that whole controversy of like, well, wait a second, that's a whole double standard.
Yeah, I hear you. It's tricky, but I see Marcus, you have your hand up, so I think you're gonna give us a good rebuttal or response here. So let us know what's on your mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different from a minority scholarship. Like, that's you know, those things are legal. So it's really no different from something like that. There's plenty of, I guess you could say, loopholes you can go through. I think the idea though is you can simply frame it as this. This we'll take the cosplay competition, for example. Mm-hmm. This cosplay competition is designed to showcase the best that Black nerds have to offer. Mm-hmm. You put that as a description, then that's there. That's not saying that, you know, that's not necessarily saying that people can't enter, mm-hmm. But it is showing what this focus is going to be. And I think that's the primary thing across the board with what people have been saying about BlurCon, because we're focusing on the cosplay competition. Like, we ain't talked about the vendors and,
yeah.
But if you just putting that just goes to show that you are centering the people that your con is named after. Agreed. If you just have that simple thing, just saying that, that will show anybody else who may want to enter, and, hey, this isn't about you. And that's what I think most people are saying, that we need to show that at this BlurCon, it's not about anybody but the blurs.
So then I think if that's the route that they're going to go to, then they would have to be really specific then with the rules in regards to the competition and just kind of stand firm with that. But if not, if they know that they can get pushback on that with the whole double standards, then what you were saying before is like, well, is it really about BlurCon or is it something else? And if so, then are you going to change the name or change the whole idea and theme and description of the festival itself? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is, I feel like they can still be inclusive, but still highlight Black nerds. I feel like there's room for both. I mean, and I don't know, you know, in theory, at least, you know, in practice, it may be something else. But what I'm thinking that they could have done is have, like, you know, everybody can march across the stage at, you know, or whatever they do with at the cosplay thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they'll give like an ally award or something to somebody outside.
That's perfect. Like, an ally award, I think. That makes sense.
Yeah, but that would be, you know, because I don't think that you would necessarily want to say, you know, hey, y'all can't be a part of this. I mean, at the same time, I don't know, like, you may not want to say it, but at the same time, if I'm a judge, I'm not giving that prize to anybody Period. Else. You know what I'm saying? Period.
And here's the thing, too. What happens, because two things I was thinking about. What happens if you're not getting enough people to enter the competition? And then kind of what the judges were saying before, and that they're saying those that are entering, if they're not stepping up their game, but then someone else stepped up their game and did their thing, then, you know, what happens with that? Do we not award the person that came with the best costume if the others in the step of the game or not enough people entered the competition? So hopefully next year with this story, we'll get definitely more people to attend and then more people to compete in the competition. Hopefully this will inspire people to then compete, step up their game so that controversy of someone else to win, you know?
Yeah, the thing about them stepping up their game is that, I mean, like, even as we saw, their game was there.
I agree. But I'm just saying, based on the judges' comments, I guess it seems like they felt that overall the games were not stepped up. But the girl, I don't know anything about comic characters, but the one that she had, like, the thing on her arms, like metallic stuff, mm-hmm. to me, she should have won.
There were plenty of other options there. Mm-hmm. I also think that it may not have been a problem if BlurCon had a long history of Black winners. And then, mm-hmm. you know, one day we get, you know, you want to throw an Eminem in there and say, hey, you're the best rapper of mm-hmm. 2020. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not the BET Awards and you have not had 30 plus or whatever, how many years that they've had on TV mm-hmm. of celebrating Black artists, their history is not there. And so that doesn't give them any leverage to then be like, okay, we can kind of let somebody else be in here just on the merit of their awesomeness for 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like now it's been 4 years and 50% of the winners have been white.
I'm curious to see the in previous years, the pictures of the other winners compared to those that have competed. I'm curious about that, you know, to see. I would have to do more research to see if it was justifiable to go, oh yeah, that person was a clear winner. If we're going just based on costume appearance, if that definitely was the clear winner. Because this year, looking at the pictures, I can't say 100%, yes, she deserved to win. When I'm seeing the other one, like with the gray hair and whatever, the arms and stuff, I was like, to me, that was a standout.
So
it would have to be in previous years, like, wow, that was a standout. Like, you're on another level compared to the other competitors. I would have to do more research to see that. Yeah. If it was just
the other thing is, the other thing is, yeah, you would think that whoever's entering the contest would have the common sense to know. I mean, because I was thinking about this earlier. I was just like, this is almost like an able-bodied person joining the, what do you call it? The Special Olympics or something.
Right.
Yeah, that's foolish.
Like, you have an advantage going in. So why would you even go do that? Like, you know, it doesn't read well. It doesn't. And then, you know, on top of that, the prize for this was to be a spokesperson or something and be featured for BlurredCon at the next, at some other greater convention,
which is such an honor. Yeah.
And now, so now you've given this white woman to be a representative of BlurredCon, and it's just like, okay, so because how is this going to work?
And also, I'm just wondering, just something what you just said before, if people, you know, if you're already entering the competition, you're already at an advantage, do they think then some people, I'm wondering the mentality of some people that they figure, well, maybe I don't have to try too hard because, hey, I'm black and I'm entering, I already have an advantage and I don't necessarily have to step it up as much because I feel like I'm already at an advantage. So maybe I don't have to try too hard. I don't know if that's the case of mentality.
You
know,
I just think
I would hope not. I would hope that when you're entering, you're going to go up in there, give your best regardless. Don't just be like, well, you know, I'm this. It's like, I don't even gonna step it up. I'm already at an advantage.
Right. So I kind of think that was partly what it, because I mean, like, it's common sense. It's common sense to just not put your name in the hat. I would never go to, you know, an event that specifically focuses on a specific group of people and insert myself if I was not a part of that group.
I agree with you.
But for some reason, when it's black people, it's a little bit different. They don't, you know.
I mean, so. It's like, look, I'm Puerto Rican. I'm not going to enter in Queens, you know, in Jackson Heights, there's a lot of Central Americans, South Americans, and Mexicans in that area. If it's a specific competition that is for to represent, you know, Mexico or Colombia, I'm not going to enter that competition because I'm Puerto Rican. So I can't be representing for Mexico or Colombia. I'm like, that's not the lane for me. So yes, even though I fit under the umbrella of Hispanic, but I'm not specifically Mexican or Colombian as example. So right. I personally would not enter in that, you know. Right. I'm like, because I'm not that. I don't fit in that category.
I'm sure everybody else there would have your head on a platter.
Oh, they would. Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Oh, they surely would. They surely would. Also, well, really quick, in regards of the dating thing, because I'm going on a date later on. Maybe I'm old fashioned, but I feel like if you're courting somebody and you approach somebody, it's like, I'm interested in you. I would like to take you on a date. You should pay for that first date, period. Like that, it just sets the tone, you know, because I'm like, well, if you're going to be cheap with the date, if I'm thinking of, you know, finding my husband, then when it comes to finances and everything else, are you going to be, you know, stingy with money and cheap with money? And what are you saying about me? And am I not a value? Am I not worth your time and energy to, you know, spend a little on me? Look, I personally tend to always attract older and or more masculine men. They come up to me and I feel like, okay, if you know what your role is, you stepping up to me, I feel like, you know what, you should pay for the first date. And then of course, as time goes on, and of course I will be willing, you know, to pay for things. But the first date, if you're approaching somebody and you're courting somebody, I think just the proper etiquette is to pay for that date. Absolutely. And then maybe the person could be like, you know what, I'll put the tip, you know, in, or maybe afterwards, hey, you know what, I got dessert kind of thing. But for that first date, no, boo-boo.
First day, it means
you
a lot.
Pay
it
for
means
that.
A lot. But Khalid, thank you so much for joining and giving us your opinion.
Yeah, I got to finish getting ready.
All right. Good luck on your date. Wait, are you paying for this date?
No, he is.
Okay, I hope so. You give us an update.
Oh, no, he is. I never pay for the first date, and I make that very clear in a nice way. No. And he chose the place too. So if he chose the place, he came up to me. Ooh, you paying for that
date? Look, if he does any different, you give him the link to Boys and Brunch next week, and
we'll I sure will. Out,
okay. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh goodness. Now look, the chat is carrying on and I couldn't like, you know, it's like you're talking and you're seeing stuff and then I wanted to bring, did you guys see anything specifically that I should call out in these comments before we move on to our next topic?
There was so many things.
Mama Shay was saying, this seems like a case of white is right in the dead ass middle of a so-called black space. And she said that costume wouldn't have won in a white space.
Because it wasn't that good. It looked dusty.
See the judges, like, not just what is the makeup of the judges?
Well, Born and Sapphire talked about one of them a while back about Dex exclamation point.
From my initial just looking at the avatars, they look to be a mixed bag, you know, as far as representing LGBT, representing Black, representing, you know, mixed.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure what the makeup is. I know the founder, I believe, is. I'm assuming the founder is Black.
Oh yeah, he's Black.
Okay. Please. You'll start no blurred con and you not be Black. That would just be crazy. But yeah, okay. We're gonna move into Lil Nas X.
Hey.
We're gonna talk about Lil Nas X and some other music videos and stuff that's been going on. So we've got what is the name of this industry baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just watched this morning. Now, like, you know, I've been doing a whole bunch of other stuff, so that's why I haven't watched it. But I watched it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think a lot of times I don't rave about Lil Nas X on this show, but. I don't think he's a bad artist at all. I enjoy kind of what he does on some level, but I thought this was probably one of my favorite videos of his. And I guess the song itself was really cool as well. So I'm all for it. So I don't know. What did you guys think about the video? Marcus, why don't you let's go with the Lil Nas X fan in the room. Well, not the fan. I know you got a fan. But.
We don't do fandom. But it was cool. I think, I will say that for me, I think this is probably like the most traditional, I guess, of his like videos and like songs or whatever have you. Because, you know, it was one of them videos. You just have a whole bunch of dancers in the background dancing and you like, there was a concept there, like, that's not what I mean, but I think that the concept and how it was brought out was, like, really, like, traditional music video. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like it. I enjoyed it. I put out a tweet, I think, that says, like, all right, so I need to see some HBCUs start getting their arrangements together right now, because I need to see some horns blaring and some old nasty counts when school starts back from this song.
That's so.
Yes, so... So yeah,
somebody's saying they were not actually naked in that video.
Okay. Oh yeah, no.
I mean, look, I believe that.
I mean, because you have to, like, if you know how the male anatomy looks, if you bend over and touch it, something is going to be seen. So yeah, they was not actually naked.
Oh, that's funny. Brandon, what are your thoughts on the video?
I really enjoyed it. I get what Marcus is saying. I think just because of like Lil Nas X, I think his creativity and stuff thus far has been in such a Busta Rhymes, Missy Elliott, whatever. That this was like everybody else, and not to shade everybody else at all, say that's bad. It just was like, we're just dancing, which is fine. I can appreciate though the versatility of that. He definitely is in a lane of his own or by himself right now. I think I might have lyrically maybe enjoyed this song the most from him so far. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that he's out here and he's still doing it. I'm glad he wasn't a one-hit wonder. I was still be talking about him, but 2 years later, I didn't think.
Yeah. Now, there were some people who were saying that the other rapper, I forget what his name is.
The white man.
Jack Harlow.
Yeah, come on,
Marcus. I'm sorry. It was him. I'm sorry.
Harlow, right?
Yeah. Yo.
Now, they were saying, you know, he had to be in there with the female to be like, he was an ally, but, you know, like, basically like a no homo thing. And I didn't think that it was all that, you know, but maybe it was just a funny tweet or something that somebody posted up there and didn't really mean that much. But I mean, you know, part of me is just like, you know, okay, so then, there was another tweet about this being the emasculation of Black men or something. Like that whole line of thought, and which I just like, come on, y'all. Like the whole, like he's saying, like the basic argument that he's making, or that this person is making, is that they're showing a lot of gay Black men in a jail twerking and dancing and whatever together. Right. And the only masculine dude in the place is this white guy with the female cop that's like all over him and rubbing him down or whatever. Right. And I'm just like, well, which one of y'all is gonna be in this video? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm really trying to understand. I'm really trying to figure out which Black rapper would have actually been in this video. Are there options?
I think there are several, given the way that this one was, because the white guy, he was only in the little scene and then what, like on the top of the bus or whatever at the very end. He wasn't even in like a throughout. So
I would still say like a lot of Black straight men would be really uncomfortable even being associated with this video. You know, it doesn't matter what scene you're in. You're in a jail with a bunch of gay dudes.
Because that reminds me of, there was a performance some years back when Migos and Katy Perry had a song. And they were performing it somewhere. And Katy Perry wanted to bring out some drag queens. And Migos, like, acted up. Yeah. And if you ever seen, like, little memes of, like, Katy Perry performing, and she's, like, real awkward, like, trying to be all, like, fake dad, all that little crazy stuff. It came from that performance. Because Migos pretty much... vetoed the drag queen, so Katy Perry had to make up something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm done.
I don't say too, but I also wonder, not defending these straight niggas at all, but I just wonder how much of their pushback is them versus perception. You get what I'm saying? That's what I always
say that again.
I wonder how much of it is like they're actually against it versus they're worried about what fans are going to think. Like, if a straight Black rapper...
Well, yeah. No, I mean, and I think that, you know, because the person who tweeted this was not a rapper. It was just a regular person. So I think that other rappers, if they felt safe going into it, they would have hopped on the train, because Lil Nas X is hot right now, okay?
This is the one you want...
Listen.
Okay, well.
Wait, what were you saying, Brandon?
No, I'm saying this is the artist to work with. I mean, he gets Twitter better than like any other
anybody.
Absolutely.
Like he's gonna laugh and keep it pushing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah. So and like connected is saying, and like what you were saying, they're worried about what others are gonna think. And so, you know, that kind of perpetuates, you know, I guess for the common person, this narrative of emasculating Black men, because it's almost like you don't know where the end point is, or it's like a chicken and egg scenario. Like, is it the public who's making y'all feel uncomfortable, or should y'all step out and make the public feel comfortable about it? And then, like, where do we stop the craziness? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel about that. But then we also have, I mean, I didn't listen to this one, but Kanye released, what was it, a new album, I think, right?
He had a party, but it didn't come out.
Okay. Got you.
He's still working. I don't know how you have a release party and a music, a fashion show with fashion.
I don't know how that works either, but apparently he released one. He released at least one song or something, right?
I don't know.
I'm almost positive he released a music video because everybody was talking about Jay-Z's on the track or something like that.
Maybe it's a set list.
Track list.
Because he's still living in the Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the fifth album.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's living.
Album.
In the Mercedes-Benz. Stadium. And we're both going to take a sip on that. I'm just really confused as to why Kanye is still on our radar. It's just like, you know, I kind of thought to myself, I'm like, okay, so now Jay-Z is legitimizing him again. Where do we draw the line? Are we at the point where anything goes and we just let stuff slide and we just, is the art really more powerful than who, where you get it from?
Anything goes for the streets.
I think anything goes for us too, because a lot of us, I mean, there are some of us who are into Kanye too. You know what I'm saying? So it's not.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, it's like, like what the heck? You know, Beyonce's over there now, like, you know, with Jay-Z, he's on, you know, now she's over there like, you know, that's my man. I'm going to stay beside him. Like, what are we doing? Oh my gosh.
Got my sis over here looking foolish.
Like, girl, I mean, and I love Beyonce, but
Jay-Z's
ma'am.
Worse.
She said Jay-Z's done worse.
Standing beside Kanye, so.
Right. okay, and then finally we've got Normani's new single. That came out last week, but we weren't here to talk about it. So I'm curious what you guys thought about that one. Have you heard of that?
I heard it. I haven't seen the video.
Okay.
It's cute.
Yeah, it is. I watched the video this morning as well. You know, in my little research, I had to do my research. I watched Lil Nas X and then I watched Normani like back to back. I was like, okay, I'm going to be prepared today to talk about music because I don't really watch music videos like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I thought it was really cool. She did the whole nods to Aaliyah and everything. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a really good song. You know, I hope that she's able to follow this up with catalog of music. You know, I know a lot of people were really upset about her last. I think Marcus is laughing at me because he's expecting me to be really shady. And I'm really trying not to.
But it's still seeping through.
I mean, I really want her to win, if for nothing else, so my timeline can stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have nothing against her. I think this is the strongest song I've heard from her personally. But yeah, of course, it's the win. I feel like the group broke up how long ago? Like,
here's the thing for me. Like, I feel like, to kind of bring the music stuff we were talking about, I feel like Normani is doing what people thought Lil Nas X was going to do. Like, you know, put something out and it like trends for like a week and then it disappears. But that's what she did with that other song, I think it was Motivation. Mm-hmm. Got like a lot of traction. People was like, oh my God, this is so good. What was it? And then radio silence. So for me, I'm just like, yeah, this was cute. But let me see how you follow it up, because you've done something cute before.
That's
right.
True.
Right.
Emphasis on the cute.
Hey, I take that back. I like the song with her and Sam Smith. I like that one.
I didn't know she had a song with Sam. I didn't know Sam Smith was still making music.
Let's look at three albums. Don't do my boy, okay? Or my...
Say, everybody's music. Like, I get upset. Mama Shay saying, I get upset that people say Normandy, whatever her name is, but I don't like that she's always the next blank.
True.
Oh, it's so shady. Khalid is saying, Normani is talented, but her music hasn't been selling and doing well on the charts. Which is unfortunate, but I feel like she could do a lot better if she had more out there. I don't know. Was motivation was like pre-TikTok though.
No, it was. It was like a couple months ago, wasn't it?
It was at least a year.
Motivation.
Really?
Motivation was a while ago.
Child.
Yeah.
Time is a construct.
I think it was TikTok was still there, but it wasn't like, you know, TikTok, you know, it wasn't like as we know it. So maybe with this one, you know, maybe she might have popped a lot more had people been on TikTok and done a whole TikTok thing and made it a whole trend or whatever. It might have been, but I mean, it was pretty viral back then already. So I don't know.
But I wonder too, though, is like, so Fifth Harmony was very like pop, and I feel like she's really trying to go more of an R&B lane. And so it's like, so you're already alienating or losing most of that base to begin with. And it's like, I don't know. I wonder if that's what it is too, you know?
Yeah.
Because it always is hard to go solo from a group, I think, especially when you're not the lead. But then it's like, to even do something very different as well, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Who is the lead of Fifth Harmony?
Don't make me lie. I just don't.
I think the lead, if we're going to give anybody a lead from Fifth Harmony, not that I know them that well, but it was probably Camila.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. She, or at least she was probably the, I think I, you know, and this is me not really knowing, so don't anybody like kill me for this, but I think that she was at least the most popular one out of the girls.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why she was able to kind of kick off her solo career. She actually had a new song this week as well. I listened to a little bit of it on Twitter. It sounded okay. It was cool. I haven't really listened to a lot of her. I guess I've listened to some of her stuff, because some of her stuff is just like, you just can't get away from it because they play it everywhere. So yeah, good for her. So then we have one more topic, and typically we would only have 3 minutes left in this show, but we're going to give this a full conversation here because I just feel it deserves a full conversation. So we're going to talk about removing an ex's photos from social media. Basically, well, here, let me just read the tweet. So @iDavy tweets, y'all really will feel some way if niggas don't remove pictures with their exes off their social media. Let's discuss this, babes. This feels like insecurities just bubbling. So basically the scenario is you get with somebody new or you have a new relationship or something, and you're kind of asking your man to delete their ex off of their social media, their past pictures with their ex off their social media. So I'm curious, Brandon, why don't you start us off with this one? Let us know, like, is this, what do you think about this in general?
I don't have a general answer. So I think, honestly, everyone is different. I think if you're with someone who posts often, very regularly, it's like, pictures of the ex are like way down yonder or whatever, I wouldn't matter, because to me, it at least appears to be there's enough time between whatever has happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, they clearly have been single for a minute or whatever, that's fine. But if you're with somebody who posts, somebody like me, who posts, you know, here. Don't go far and you would see somebody. So it's like, whoa, like, so I'm finna be sitting up here right next to the last nigga? Like, what are we doing, you know? I don't think it's always insecurity. I don't think. I think it just can be a bad look.
Yeah. Okay. I'll jump in on that. I think it can be insecurity 99% of the time, but my thing is, it's some insecurities are okay to have. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody's perfect. So I'm of the mindset, like, if I ask you to delete photos of your ex, just delete them. Or it's just that it would be that easy for me. If my boyfriend had asked me to delete photos of my ex, then I would just be like, okay, whatever. Let me just delete them or let me archive them. Because that's an option as well. And I would just be done with it because it's not really worth the fight to keep my ex up on my Instagram feed. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like a lot of times people want to make a fight out of everything. And it's like, you know, I'm one of those people, it's like, you got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
And that's not a battle that I have to fight. I don't want to have to explain to my partner why I want my ex on my, you know, because at the end of the day, if you really don't care about having your ex on your timeline, then basically you're only fighting the person asking you to delete them because you think that they're being insecure and blah, blah, blah. You're fighting them because they feel a certain way. You're not fighting them because you really care about having your ex. You know, it's just like, just delete it and be over with it. But Marcus, what are you thinking about it?
The thing that you said about that not being a battle worth fighting is kind of where I stand. Like, these aren't relationships, but romantic relationships. But, like, I get onto Facebook, and Facebook pops up memories of people who I don't fuck with anymore all the time. I just can't scroll on by. Like, I'm not sharing that. Mm-hmm. Those pictures and stuff are still clearly, you know, on my page, but I'm just not going to acknowledge it or what have you. And that's kind of that's kind of my sort of, like, stance on it. But if it got to the point where somebody who I was with was like, hey, I really don't feel comfortable with you having these pictures here, I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Because it's not that big of a deal for me personally. Like, I don't, it's whatever. Yeah. And it's just not worth fighting for. I do think, though, that that could be like an indicator of a bigger problem. Like, that could possibly lead you towards, hey, this person's like, wants you to be all theirs all the time and no acknowledgement of anything or anybody else. Like, that could be a red flag. And that's probably the only time where that's probably how I would react to it. I would do it, but I would have to start paying attention. Like, okay, let me see where their head is, because it may be like another issue.
Right, right. And my thing is like, yeah, it could be a signal about that, but I feel like you can't really attack it that way until you get all of the info, until you get other instances of this going on. It could just be an isolated, look, I'm really uncomfortable with you having your exes on here and people going back and liking your picture and whatever, or, you know, and seeing all that. And personally, I would not ask my boyfriend to do that. And I would not even think about it, because it's like, it's a picture I posted a year or 2 years ago, and I really am not even thinking about it. But, you know, if my partner is uncomfortable with that, then okay, I'll delete them or I'll archive them.
This archive is just taking me out.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying that, like, that's a little bit sneaky too, because it's like, if we end up on the outs, I can just put them back on the feed. You know what I'm saying? But that's an option. Like, you know, they won't be up there anymore. But yeah, I just, you know, that's just kind of, and I just feel like a lot of times in gay relationships, we find these things to pick about or these things to fight about, and we don't understand that we can kind of compromise and we don't have to fight about a certain thing all the time. Sometimes it can just be, and, like, you know, the whole saying, you know, What is it the straight people say when, like, the wife is right, or happy life, happy wife?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that means something. You know, sometimes you just let it go. Or a lot of times you just let stuff go if you want to have a relationship. And I feel like in gay relationships, there's always a battle of wills, or a battle of... you know, one person kind of seeing some imperfections in somebody else and saying, you shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. And then it becomes a bigger thing than just, you know, acquiescing, which I think could be a lot more pleasing in the end. I'm going to see what these guys are saying in the chat here. Mama Shay, I put this chat up here, but I'm going to read what she says. For me, if it's my current with pics of their ex, I would prefer they not celebrate that part of their past unless kids were in the pics too. So unless they had kids or something in the pics, yeah, she would allow that, but she would not like anybody having their ex in the feed. And then she continues saying, I also feel like the type of pic matters. If y'all just out to dinner, meh. If y'all obviously naked in bed, slobbing each other down, I'm going to be uncomfortable with it. Yeah,
that I agree with
as
that.
Well, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe that one I would be like, okay.
Like, okay. That one down.
But what if you get with somebody and they have pictures of multiple exes up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I personally, I'm like, if you got... What you got an ex from 3 years ago on your feed that nobody's looking at. You got your ex from 1 year ago that nobody's looking at because the algorithm just doesn't work that way. You're not bringing up old pictures. You know what I'm saying? So who cares? But I mean, that's me personally.
I guess I'm going to be just added to the collection. At this point.
I think I honestly would probably prefer that, like, super old pictures versus the guys who, like, who post a million pictures when they're together and they delete them all.
Yes.
Okay. What happened to someone?
Okay. Right. I mean, I feel like that's way, like, way too much energy. Like, if you're deleting pictures of an ex unprovoked, then you've still got energy in that relationship. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
Yeah, that's just kind of how I'm thinking. But then it's also interesting because I feel like if you're asking your ex to get rid of their pictures, I wonder how many of these people who would ask their boyfriend to get rid of their ex's pictures would date a porn star or somebody like of that nature whose stuff is out here with everybody. And I feel like a lot of times when we say, you know, would you go out with a porn star? I feel like a lot of times people are like, yeah, you know, it's cool. But then, you know, at the same time, you're going to ask your boyfriend to get rid of these pictures with your ex. What about these videos, boo-boo?
Or it's porn stars after COVID and OnlyFans, because it's a lot more girls who are, you know, making their money that way.
Look, the OnlyFans, boo-boo, ooh, that was funny.
What?
This is correct. This is correct.
The OnlyFans blew up in 2020, but maybe we'll leave that conversation for Slay
the Film. Oh, I want a story. So yes.
Okay. Oh Lord.
Okay, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. Connected is like not video. Oh my God. Khalida said I would not date a porn star. Look, find the right one. Let one come along because you said that. One's gonna come along, and you're gonna be like, "Ooh,
he gonna find out that date is one."
And there's a difference between a porn star and somebody who does porn, because all these folks are not stars now.
Right. I need to watch my words, because words mean things.
Words mean things. This is correct. This is correct. Absolutely.
All right.
Never mind.
All right. So anyway, we're gonna jump over to splitting the bill. And again, we're here together. You can find us at Jared D. King, at Loose as a Deuce, at Just Call Me Otis on Twitter and Instagram. Please follow us and let's raise a glass, everyone.
Yeah, a little bit left.
So, as we always say, be careful what you say because the boys will brunch. Take care, everyone.